is from 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. 2 Samuel 12, verse 23. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So far. David prayed for his sick child. David prayed for his sick child. Three thoughts. A guilty David. Secondly, a forgiving God. And in the third place, a saved child. So David prayed to God for his sick child. In the first place, a guilty David. Secondly, a forgiving God. And in the third place, a saved child. Congregation, David had a few friends. Some close friends, and they also often gave him advice. For example, Gad, the seer of David. And for example, Nathan. When there was a problem, something he could not wrap his head around himself, David said, Nathan, what do you think? So it was not unusual that Nathan was visiting the royal palace. And he came. You see him coming? And he said, David, I have something. I need, let me say in my own words, I need advice. How are we going to deal with this? What's the matter? Nathan, go ahead. What's the matter? Well, there was a rich man. Very rich man. He had many herds of all different animals. Sheep and goats and camels and you name it. And he was also a very poor man. And the poor man tried to get some money together to buy a little ewe lamb. And that only little ewe lamb was so dear to that poor man. It was his pet. You know, when he had eaten from a plate, he used the same plate for the animal. When he had been drinking from a cup, he gave the same cup to the animal. And the animal sat on his lap. He was just like we deal with dogs and cats. And that animal was as if it was his daughter. It says in the Bible. His daughter. And do you know what the word daughter is in Hebrew? Probably not. Let me tell you. The daughter in Hebrew is bath. Rings a bell? Bath? Bath? Sheba? So David did not understand it yet, what Nathan was referring to. But he knew it. Someone was very rich, and someone had just one little ewe lamb, and it was so dear to him. It even slept close to him. And now what happened? There was a traveler coming. A traveler coming from far, and he was visiting, and the rich man wanted to prepare a meal for him, of course, because hospitality was a big thing in Israel. And he hated to take one of his own animals. He had many. He could easily miss one. What's the difference between thousands and thousands? And just missing only one, the ewe lamb. He could prepare that and butcher it, and what's the matter? But he said, I hate to do that. And he thought of that one ewe lamb, of his neighbor, of that poor man. He stole it. He took it. He killed it. He killed it. And he prepared a meal with it. He dressed it. And he let that traveler eat it. And Nathan was looking at David. You should have seen his face, David's face. I think he got up. He was angry. He said, "That's terrible. That's horrible. How can you do that? He should pay four times back. When people have to, when they steal Israel, you have to pay four times back. I wish it would be in Canada as well. You pay four times back. But on top of that, this man must die. This man deserves capital punishment. This is so mean. This is so strange. He had plenty. And why does he have to take that dear animal of the poor man? You know, why did David get so mad? You tell me. Why was David so angry, so upset? You know why? He had no clue. He had no idea, better, at this time, of what grace is. He was so hard on this man because he was so soft for himself. He was in so much darkness. He was a bitter man. He was hardened. And when people are hardened and bitter, they become very critical and problematic. And that's what you see here. So, no wonder. You know, we read in Psalm 32 about that. When I kept silence, he didn't want to talk about his sin with Bathsheba. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old. I felt kind of, I cannot even walk anymore. I just, all my joints are hurting. My bones waxed old through my roaring. Groaning, that means groaning. Ah, groaning all the day long. And the hand of God was heavy upon him. So he felt God's hand being heavy on him, having a burden on his back. My moisture is turned into the drought of the summer. He was spiritually dehydrated. Right? No moisture. No moisture. My moisture is turned into the drought of the summer. Because it was now about a year ago. He had sinned with Bathsheba. And he had refused to acknowledge that. He had not confessed it. He refused to do that. And that's why. His soul so dry. His thoughts so confused. Yes, he was a child of God. Still. But he was unwilling to bow and to admit. You know, Nathan heard him. How mad he was. His face upset, right? And Nathan said, there's a picture of that in one of the paintings of Rembrandt, of Nathan with a sad face. And his finger. Thou art that man. You are so upset, right? It's you. You were that mean. Didn't you have many wives? As was custom those days and allowed those days. Although never, right? You didn't have enough wives? You needed her? That woman who was so dear to her husband, they were so close to one another, she was Bathsheba. Why? See? Nathan said, "Thou art that man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And Nathan is kind of listing all the blessings he received in the past. Nathan is picturing who God has been for him. Not only righteous and holy and majestic, but so kind to him in the past, David. I anointed thee king over Israel, right? I anointed thee. Why are you doing this? And I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul even, right? Didn't I? And I gave thee thy master's house, the palace, right? And thy master's wives in thy bosom, right? And I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. There was so much more on the shelf. I was willing to give so much more. I've been so good to you, David. Therefore, verse 9, therefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord and do evil in his sight. Thus killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, has taken his wife to be thy wife, has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. You know, David was a child of God. Don't take me wrong. But the Lord is working a new repentance in him. He's breaking his heart again. He needs that work of God again. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Lord uses therefore Nathan and that surprise attack with this kind of parable. And the Lord listing again all the blessings. So that is one of the common ways of the Lord to list the blessings. Haven't I anointed you? Haven't I made you king? Have I not given you the palace? Have I not given you much more? Have I not been willing to give more and more and more? That's how the Lord breaks hearts. And breaks hearts again. And the people see that we have not sinned against the tyrant, against only his son who is just and holy and majestic, but also kind and giving. So Nathan accused him. Nathan pointed out to him how good the Lord has been. Nathan came with a question in verse 9. Therefore, and Nathan also comes now with a verdict. Now, therefore, you will know it, David. You will know it. Therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun, for thou didst do it secretly, but I will do it before all Israel and before the sun. So Nathan came. David did not expect anything like this. He was absolutely not prepared for this. And he just got him. And he pointed to him. And he showed all the blessings to him. And he asked the question, what is the reason, David? And he got also to hear what the consequences will be. And then, how would David respond? Would he say to his soldiers, kill him? Kill him. Because there was a dangerous situation for Nathan. He could easily be killed. Because standing up to the king, that's quite something. But no. And David said unto Nathan, verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. He's not defending himself. He's not saying, you know, there are circumstances and I could help it. This happened to me. I was just on the roof of the palace. I just happened to see her. It was a weak moment. And he is not defending himself. This was not just a mistake. This was not just an error. It was not just a weakness. It was sin. Sin was an offense. I have sinned. I have sinned. He has his hands full now. I have sinned against the Lord. Not only against Bathsheba, also to her, and also Uriah, and sinned against his own body, as the Bible says, and sinned against the nation, in a sense, because the people have been talking about it, at least a few of them. But he has sinned against God. Against God. Against the Lord. And he feels that. Against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So that God that was pointed out to him by Nathan is the God he has sinned against. So he has something like that, like Job. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He has no something what we read in Isaiah 6. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. He has something like in Acts 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Pricked in the heart. So a guilty David. He was guilty. He feels guilty again. Now, do you know what that means? Have you ever wholeheartedly confessed all your sins to God? All the sins you know. I have sinned against the Lord. He is not complaining about the Lord. He's not defending himself. He's just sincere. Guilty David. Let's go to the second thought. What now? Now, David, you feel guilty. Now, pray for it. And it might take a while before you receive assurance. You know, you made it so bad, it will take a while before God comes back. No. 13 again. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's amazing. That's something you don't expect, do you? David has been clenching his jaws and didn't want to confess, was hard on others, easy on himself, and has sinned against so much goodness of God. And now he repents, and right away after his repentance, the Lord says, the Lord has also put away thy sin. You deserve to die, right? Because this is a sin that could be punished with capital punishment. But the Lord says, forgiven. Immediately. Right away, right after he said, I've sinned against the Lord. There's no time in between. That goes fast, isn't it? Does it not go too fast? Is that real? Is that still happening? That someone confesses his sins and that right away is forgiven? Still happens. You know why? There's nothing the Lord likes better than to forgive. The Bible says, He delighteth in mercy. And when there is someone with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and is sincere and says, Lord, I don't deserve anything but death. I have sinned against thee. The Lord hears that prayer. And the Lord is willing to forgive. Willing to forgive thou art, right? Forgiveness. How is it possible? Forgiveness. There is forgiveness because out of David, a child will be born, right? And out of him, the Lord Jesus will be born, the Son of David. And that child of Mary will be a child through the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit without vileness, that holy thing born out of thee. And that Lord Jesus Christ won't sin in his entire life at all. He'll be so clean and so holy and so pleasing his Father. And that child must die. That child, Lord Jesus Christ, must die. Although he knew no sin, he was put on the cross. And he died himself voluntarily to save a people from their sins. Because there was no guile in his mouth. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, David is healed. Although David again was a man walking in his own ways, like sheep have gone astray, turned to his own way, but he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. David said, I've sinned. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Well, is that forgiveness? Not saying, if forgiven. Forgiven, David. All your sins forgiven. I'll put away your sins. Howbeit, your son shall die. What type of forgiveness is that? Is that real forgiveness? When the Lord says, I forgive you all your sins, but you have to deal with a few things in this life. So there's a difference between forgiveness and consequences. It is possible that someone is really forgiven, but the Lord is chastising that person. And there are consequences. You know, let's not forget that there are direct and indirect consequences. And someone is using his cell phone and driving, and you kill yourself. Please don't do that. If you kill yourself, it's a direct consequence of that foolishness, right? And so there are many things when people sin or so are unfaithful, like David. Even when the Lord forgives, there can be still very painful consequences your whole life. And David hears it here. But your child shall die. Forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. But yet also death. Brings to the third thought. a saved child. So Nathan departed, went to his own house, and the Lord struck the child of Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. So, what now? David acknowledged his sins. David received forgiveness. And David heard the message, your son shall die. Why does he not sit in his chair and just look at the child and say, well, I don't have to pray anymore. Right? I don't have to pray for this child. Why would I pray for the child? He's going to die anyway. But David, he had prayed. Can you explain that? If the Lord would tell you, your son will die, do he dare to pray then? And say, Lord, I don't want it to happen. Is that not blatant disagreement with God? Is that even right? But David is now in a different mood. And David is not that same man as early in the morning anymore. But he feels in his very heart that God is merciful. The Lord said it, but his mercy, and who knows? Maybe this was a conditional threat. A threat, yes, but maybe a conditional one. The Lord should not do it. Like with Jonah, right? Jonah preached to Nineveh that the city will be turned around, upside down. And the people prayed that what won't happen. So David, he prayed. And he prayed fervently. And he fasted. He did not eat. And he was on the floor with his nose in the dust. And he besought for the God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Actually, 7 days. Pleading, asking, please, Lord, this poor child, I have sinned. What does the child do? I don't know what he exactly said. But he pleaded with God that this child will be healed and not die. It was so bad, his elders, his counselors, his elderly wise men came to him when he was on the floor and praying. He said, David, come on, stand up. You have to eat. Life continues on. You know, the child, you can still pray for the child, but you can't lay there on the floor all the time. So they encouraged him. But he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. He couldn't eat. He couldn't drink. He was so devastated. He was such a different man. He didn't care about the death of Uriah. He didn't care about the soldiers that died. But he cared so much for this child. He's a different man. And the servants of David heard, noticed that the child died. It was apparently in a different room or so, or at least far away in the room. And he heard them whispering. And he said, has the child died? And yeah, they had to say to him, the child is dead. Oh, what a moment. Oh, what a moment. It's going to happen to you and to me and to all of us. Younger or older, that's some difference, younger or older, right? But it's going to happen anyway. And the child died. David had to die. Uriah had to die. Bathsheba had to die. Absalom had to die. Amnon had to die. Actually, he lost four children. because when someone stole, you had to pay four times back, right? And the Lord took four children away from him. And when David saw that his servant whispered, David perceived the child was dead, and they said he's dead, and David rose up, went to the bathroom, washed himself, we would say, took a shower, anointed himself, put something in his hair. What is he doing? And David rose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and put his good clothes on and went to the house of the Lord, because close by, to the house of the Lord, to the tabernacle. There was no temple yet. And worshipped. And worshipped. And gave glory to God. I was not complaining to God. Was not angry with God. He glorified God. He said, God, thou art good. God, thou art free. God, this is not a mistake. God, I don't deserve this. He was completely at peace with God. Amazing. The Lord had given. The Lord had taken. And he was blessing the name of the Lord. He glorified him. He worshipped. Again, worshipped with his head on the ground. But just giving glory and honor to God. See what the different man is? This is the Holy Spirit working. This is not of himself. You cannot fake this. This is not something you can pretend. His servants were confused and said, this is so strange. When your child was alive, you were fasting and praying and lamenting, and now the child is dead, you would say, now it's really bad. Now you can't really handle it anymore at all. And now you rose up and you eat again. And because after he went to the temple and to his own house, and then he required, they set bread before him, and he was eating, because he had not eaten for a while. His servants said, what thing is this that thou doest? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell? See that? Who can tell, verse 22, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, the child may live. So he was praying, because maybe the Lord is gracious to me. Maybe. So although it would not make much sense, he is praying against it. Although the doors seem closed, He just prays for the child. He prayed for the child. And so, in certain circumstances, you think, now we don't have to pray anymore. Just stop it. You don't have to stop. But when the child is dead, but now he's dead, wherefore should I fast? When someone has died, you don't have to pray for him anymore. I remember in my first congregation, a child of 4 years old drowned in a little pond behind the house. And the little gate had been opened. And they found him with his head, with his legs up and his head down. And then they phoned me. And I rushed over to their place. And the wet child was on the master's bedroom bed. And the father said, Reverend, pray for him. Pray for him. What do you do? We prayed. We prayed for the family. We prayed for the brothers and sisters who were sitting around the table eating together. But they had all stopped eating. The table was set and was quiet as in the house, and they asked me to pray for the child. And I didn't. Because I prayed for the other ones, for the family, not for the child. So realize that, young friends, when you die, nobody is going to pray for you anymore. It can be. And even when you're older, when you have died, it's over. The tree falls, and there doesn't remain. So hurry. Can I bring, now it's dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Can I bring the child back? I shall go to him. But he shall not return to me. I shall go to him. What does David mean? David means, my child is in heaven. And he will not come back to earth. But I will go back to him. And I someday will see him. Right? With him. Because I shall go to him. He shall not return to me. Now, how that exactly will be, we don't know. And many questions and differences in opinion. But what we know is that this innocent child, what, innocent? Let's talk about that. But that this child was in heaven. And that David could let go. And he had the comfort that the child will not come back, but he'll go there. Innocent child? Why did this innocent child have to die? What do you mean? Well, this child did not do it. It was not the child's fault. That's right. So this child was not guilty of this sin of David. Is that what you mean? Correct. But innocent child? What did David say? What did he say? Was he not born in sin and conceived in sin and in iniquity? Did David say this child has no sin, has no sins at all? In his heart, he didn't say that. So there are no innocent children. I know innocent children. The sin of Adam is in us. And this, all the seeds of sin are in our hearts. And yet our forefathers had good thoughts. Let me read you from the Canons of Dort, the first head of doctrine, Article 17. On page 100. Since we are to judge of the will of God from his word, which testifieth that the children of believers are holy, not by nature, but by virtue of the covenant of grace, in which they together with the parents are comprehended, godly parents, have no reason to doubt of the election and salvation of the children when it pleases God to call them out of this life in their infancy. So godly parents have no reason to doubt. The children that die in infancy go to heaven. So, because of that covenant mercy, because of the fact that we have seen this morning hour, that the children of the congregation are separate, and there are different thoughts on this, and I don't want to go into details now, but just consider it for yourself, and how important it is to be a godly parent, so that the child is a child of much prayer. A child of much prayer, right? I think that's the saying. If a child is a child of much prayer, then that's what a covenant child is supposed to be. Then there is still hope to let go. Innocent. No, it is not an innocent child. There is an innocent Jesus. An innocent Savior. And we need to be covered with his innocency so that our sins are covered by the Lord and forgiven. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. So that's from Psalm 50. So are you keeping silence? You know, let me say a few things. In the first place, this. David did it in secret. And at first, hardly anyone knew. But God knew. Just let you know this morning. What you did. What you are doing. What you are involved in. The Lord knows very well. And he is not going to take it easy on you. You have to repent of it and to stop it. Whatever it is. An affair or fraud or pornography or whatever it is. Young people, he knows. And he will come back to it. When you die or before. But think about it. If you confess it, you acknowledge it, you come clean with it, then your heart is broken and contrite, and you wholeheartedly confess it. Oh, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Don't let Satan tell you that you have sinned too much and too long. There is forgiveness with him, that thou mayest be feared. Remember that although there is forgiveness, there might still also be consequences. And there are always consequences to our sins, right? But if you are one of his, those consequences will turn all things to your profit. And they that love God, to them all things will work together for them. Also for David. So David had a difficult life. He dealt with many of those consequences. But he was still the Lord's child. And he died. And he met with God. And he saw his child. And still together with the saints in heaven. Seek the Lord. Because he still wants to be found. Amen.